Blog Talk Radio.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency
tax.
And the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice, because the time for choosing is
Missouri
drawing near.
Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
And don't forget about our other favorite hillbilly, Dean Whiteman, who's back in studio with me tonight.
Glad to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you, Dino. Missed you. Missed you tremendously as I try to bump you up a little bit.
Oh, you're sweet.
On the vocals.
On the vocals. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Now, Dean, you've been living life. You've been trying to get by in this economy.
I have.
And you've been blessed because, you know, things keep coming your way.
My wife going back to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's another That's another blessing. But also, I mean, you know, jobs are popping up for you here and there. We've been in the construction industry. You know, a contractor will call you here and a contractor will call you there.
This is true.
And it's been able to kind of keep you busy. But a lot of folks, unfortunately, haven't been as blessed.
No, that's a fact. And
as both of us, I'm certainly blessed in that aspect too. Every time that I think I'm about to get trimmed or get herded out, then you know, it just I manage to hang
out.
In there.
God provides,
absolutely,
and this is true.
But
I'm back at a new job today. As
are
a matter
you?
Of fact, yeah. So I am happy about that. But you know, I'm going to tell you, over the past, I'm going to say 2.5 years, I had a year of insurance banked, and I've lost all of it.
Really?
6 months ago, yeah.
Wow.
It's month to month now.
Yeah. Which means you have to log the enough hours during the course of that month to have insurance for the next month.
And if you miss it by one, you don't have insurance.
Right.
That's tough.
Nor can you make up the difference in that.
No. But you can send $1,000 to Cobra.
Right. But it's,
but I haven't made enough hours to even make my insurance, so I can't afford the $1,000 to give to Cobra.
Bottom line, you know, I keep seeing different reports in the news and other places. That suggests that the unemployment numbers are going down, that the economy is rounding the corner. Are you seeing evidence?
None.
No,
I think if they say the economy is going down, I believe 2 points that I've heard. One being they don't count the people. I guess it's kind of the same point, because those people, maybe they have gone back to work, but at a much lesser paying job. They're probably making less than half of what they were and probably don't have benefits either.
Well, the average household is making less than $4,000.
$4,000 less.
$4,000 less, rather. So.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that easily.
More than that,
right.
I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's also considering in all the poor workers who got raises during the course of most of the
I know. That's true. You're right. I've
so,
got a great story about
so
those, too.
So thank you guys for keeping the average up.
I mean, yes.
But and I'm not trying to put everybody in one boat. I know that some jobs are necessary, even in that area, but you know, some probably.
I'm sure there are difficult jobs out there too. I just left a job, and I thought I was going to be unemployed, so I was very lucky to get this call back from another company. But the first one, I was working at a psychiatric ward, and it's a government job, and there was an old fellow there. Great guy named Ram, and Ram would come by and talk to me every day. And one day he told me, you know, when I was young, I used to look at government workers and I think, oh gosh, that's just so easy and kind of lazy. Years ago,
right.
I'm saying, and I thought he was leading up to, boy, it's not like that anymore. So I said that to him, it's not like that now, is it, Ram? And he looked at me and just kind of smiled and said, oh, yeah, if I had to go back, I don't know what I could do. I couldn't go back out in the real world. And after watching him for a week, you know, yeah, I'm going to agree with that. It's probably
you're convinced,
true.
Huh?
Yes. But we all had a good laugh about that, and he was very honest about it.
Oh, well, it's Yeah, it's just I'm not buying into any of the stories. They can keep trying to pump things up as much as they can. It's just not there. You know, I was talking to an architect, and with our background in construction, this was concerning. I was talking to an architect that's a seasoned architect, been around for a long time.
Got some tenderizer on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had just done some decent projects, and I had asked him, I said, hey, how's things looking? Because I like to talk to architects.
Sure.
These guys get it on their tables first.
Right. What do you say? And
actually said it was a brutally slow summer. He said it was a brutally slow summer.
How's his fall look?
and what he said was, you know, this is what he told me, you
right.
know, 60% of the people in my profession have either filed for bankruptcy or closed their doors.
Wow.
Wow.
60%.
That's what he told me.
That's amazing.
And he has relocated, left his big office. And the thing that you got to keep into consideration, too, especially on the big projects, these guys get the jobs about two and a half years before the construction actually starts.
Right.
You know, the shovel-ready jobs.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
So it's about a two and a half year delay many times. So that's concerning.
Unless you're into concrete and drive the backhoe.
Right.
Right.
Well,
otherwise, it's a couple
still,
of years.
It's still, you know, pushing a couple of years because you know how fast these jobs progress.
Oh, well, that's a fact.
You know, with the tilt-ups, with everything else that's going on. We are going to have Kurt Barr, state rep out of the 102nd here in Missouri. Do you remember Kurt?
I do.
Yeah, Kurt's going to call us this evening.
Fantastic.
It's whenever he was running against Dave Evans. We had actually hosted a debate between the two, so I ran into Kurt a couple of nights ago. Well, it seems like a couple of nights ago, and in actuality, it was last night.
You have a lot going on.
It was
on
like
in your life.
It was like the last hour of like a 15-hour day, and we got to talk for a while. Kurt's a very good guy. He's very constitutional minded. He's an Air Force veteran. He should be joining us a little bit later.
Great.
You can certainly call in and join us anytime you like at 347-677-1835. Dino?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about kids? I mean, we live in a society that that there's pretty much a little bit that's taboo.
But you mean very little that's taboo?
Very,
yes.
Very little. And it's getting smaller every day.
It is. It's true.
And it's honestly, unfortunately, taking more and more to shock us whenever it does. But, you know, there's a trend of kids suing parents these days. I mean, how...
It happening? Suing to alleviate themselves from the family?
No, actually suing for, not for reparations, but for damage. I mean, just like there was a car accident recently.
Yeah.
And a little girl has taken her family to the task in the court. She's 12 years old. But
what happened to her?
But it's going on all over the world. We do have some cases that are propping up in the United States, including the one that you mentioned. You know, where you try to sue that to get away from your parents.
Right.
There was a case in Canada where a son was denied a field trip with his school and sued. And
I heard about that.
Right. And in that case, the judge put a restraining order, but annulled it basically and let him go on the trip. He intervened.
Really?
Even though he hadn't done what his father had asked him to do with the chores. And thus the reason he was going to have to miss his field trip.
Oh, boy.
So it's another case to where the parents are getting drugged into court by the kids. There was one, even in Ireland, where this 12-year-old girl is suing her parents over an accident, a car accident.
Yeah, now what happened there?
It says that the accident occurred in November of 2007 when she was actually 7 years old.
Okay.
I guess her mother had been binge drinking and crashed her BMW into an embankment, killing her sister, who was 6, and her friend, who was 9.
Oh.
Her brother, John, was also injured, but she survived the crash. And at the time, she had a history of chronic alcoholism. And I'm talking about her mother. Yes. And she had two DUIs.
Okay.
But she did suffer serious spinal injuries and was in a cast for 10 weeks. She later spent 3 months in therapy over the death over her sister. And 5 years later, she filed a lawsuit through her grandfather, Anthony, and against both her mother and her father, who is a physical and psychological burden to her. So the little girl's troubled childhood was highlighted in court testimony 5 years ago, and that was during her mother's trial after the accident. But
what is the little girl suing for? Money?
She actually, after she's suing for Faith's lawsuit doesn't seem to excuse her father either. She certainly sued him as ill-suited guardians, and I think that would be appropriate, but except for the whole lawsuit thing.
I just wondered if the lawsuit was something to get mom to stop drinking.
Financially, too. It's a shame that so many different angles are being taken through the courts. Again, every time that somebody's irresponsible, we end up with either extra litigation, extra legislation, or situations that just really are unfortunate and shouldn't be occurring.
No, but the few affect
the masses, and that's where it's messed up.
It's exactly right.
We shouldn't be passing legislation to deal with one or two people here or there. I mean, you know, we shouldn't pass legislation that affects the masses to deal with one or two people.
That's true.
And it happens all the time.
But whenever legislation is passed, I think people will often take advantage too.
Yes, I will agree with that totally.
Anytime for monetary gain, especially.
Absolutely.
It makes me wonder if to get the mom to stop drinking isn't part of it. But I hear the grandparents are part of that story. So if granddad was in, maybe it was, dad's father, and he's mad at the girl because he lost his grandbaby. That's just so horrible. A grandchild to be killed and a friend of the family. Everybody's mad.
There is all kinds of tragic situations that occur every day. There
this is true.
And I just, I don't know. I don't know if this is the best venue to solve them.
Oh, it's not.
A little closer to home as we look at things. Can I ask your opinion on something?
Sure.
I cut a couple of commercials today.
Yeah.
For my campaign.
Yes.
Can I get some feedback from one of them?
Sure.
Maybe we'll play one later, too.
You betcha.
So this is a little sneak peek for anybody that hasn't heard them, because you haven't, because they were cut today.
Tell them what you're running for. Tell them what you're running for.
Jefferson County Council.
Saw you in the paper.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And it wasn't in the bad section.
No.
Well, actually, it was. It was in with a politician.
Well, yeah, you and the incumbent. And it was about 8 pages of you. Not you. There's, quite a few elections going on, but they gave you a nice page.
Well, good. Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
You
that
look good been, too. You're going to win.
That would have been the leader. And tell me what you think of this spot.
Hi, I'm Kevin Harned. As we continue to build the foundation for our new charter government, we should keep taxes low and protect our Second Amendment and personal property rights. Times are difficult, and we need fewer regulations on citizens and businesses, not more. The government's role is that of master, when it should function as the servant. I ask that you vote for me, Kevin Harned, for Jefferson County Council, and allow me to serve you. New leadership for a brighter tomorrow.
Paid for by elect Kevin Harned, Lyndall Carter, Treasurer.
Any thoughts?
Oh, that's terrible.
I thought so, too.
No,
the best
great.
Part of it is the end. That's
it's great.
Where he comes in. But,
well, where's the part where you slander the other guy?
You know, one of the things that's very difficult, it's very difficult to really fit anything meaningful inside of 30 seconds.
Well, I did very nicely.
It is. I mean, and not just kind of go down a laundry list of all the different people that you're fighting for.
Right.
You know, or that you, I support clean water and clean air.
Right.
And every gauntlet, every person mentioned in every race and every social
Yeah, I know you don't have time for something like that anyway, but that is what you did right there is so much more refreshing than everything else I hear out there.
Well, it's thanks, Steve.
Really not.
Here, here's a little something under the table.
Yeah, he's providing you $30 here. Honestly,
30? I thought that was 20.
I thought it was five, a fin. It's usually just about the other person. Here's why you should hate who I'm running against.
Well, and
that's everything that I see on TV. I never see, here's what I believe in, here's what I think government should be. Boy, that is refreshing.
One of the things that I think, first and foremost, that I want to know about somebody that's running for office is what you really believe. Because, you know, there's going to be situations that arise that that we may not be able to plan ahead for. And if I know what your core beliefs are, I probably know how you're going to legislate or you're going to put forth things that are unseen.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Now, unfortunately, some people don't have enough of a foundation that, that you can even halfway predict that.
Many. I'd say the majority.
Well, I don't know. But
it's
just
because
don't.
You're in it all the time. Really, the majority of us out there, no, we don't have a firm foundation. That's why people can be easily swayed when they see things on the mainstream media.
We are a soundbite society.
We are.
Very few of us know why we believe what we believe.
It's so true.
And there is one thing that, that we really, really, really need. It would be so much better for us and in our lives, our personal lives and our family lives, if we were.
I am seeing the highest, I would say, percentage anyway, of people coming around and actually calling into shows. And when you hear people talking, even the mainstream media is coming around on this election somewhat.
Well, I think I kind of think John Boehner summed it up with this.
If ands and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas.
So
that's our new motto for the country.
I mean, what? How? Let me put it this way: you know, if you're debating that, what's your response? I mean, you know, how can you argue those facts?
No, he's right.
I
think I would just bow my head and walk off the stage at that point.
You know, I mean, and again, I'm just there are a million sound bites out there. We've heard multiples of all these sound bites.
Yeah, out of context, the majority too.
Many are out of context, but unfortunately, whenever we get we can find complete contradictions in a short period of time too. From the same individual, and it's just boggles the mind how that. I mean, in this day and age, you think you can get by with that, but it's.
I think you'd be surprised if you are a good speaker and confident in your delivery. You can make people believe you. Not everybody. A lot of people will not believe it. Oh, that's he just contradicted himself. Many won't. Did you hear that? Wow. He like and he's fair too. Listen to that. He went for the other side. Some people you just, and I think that's, I heard it said recently, and I think it's said very well about the people who are undecided out there still. It's not really, certainly not, I don't think that they're ignorant of facts. I think they hear everything out there. Maybe they just, if I just thought about Romney, what Obama told me,
right,
and I just thought vice versa. Yeah, I'd hate
that. Actually, Romney's too easy.
Yeah, but calls on it, though.
I know.
Which is a difficult delivery when someone's telling you you're a liar right to your face and you have the correct facts. It's nice that he pulled it off so well.
Right.
I know he was on
right.
this a couple of times,
sure.
Yeah, but the majority of the time, no, he was on.
Right.
And I loved it.
I'm just speaking of somebody that's refreshing that will be calling in with us, Kurt Barr.
Love Kurt.
From the 102nd out of Missouri as far as a state rep. Whenever we're looking at a man that's got a military background in the Air Force, he's also a small business owner. He lives in O'Fallon. And they've done some redistricting, and we'll let him talk about that. But they've kind of juggled his district. Actually, they've kind of eliminated it. So he
was
is
Eureka, wasn't he? Out about that area?
No, out around O'Fallon.
O'Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
One more over. Okay.
So if anybody would like to join us,
they eliminated it.
Yeah,
be interesting.
I mean, Well, actually, it's a matter of having to relocate in that case. But you can join us at 347-677-1835. Did you see anything about any reports about President Biden's brother landing a $1 billion deal in Iraq?
No, nothing.
Well, I've seen just a little blurb here and there, but they claim that he's working for Hill International, or actually he's the president. Well, he is a partner with Hill International, and it's a mid-sized outfit that manages construction projects, as we were talking about earlier.
Right.
But they were recently awarded 100,000 homes that were being rebuilt in war-torn Iraq.
100,000 homes.
100,000 homes.
We are building in Iraq.
And the president of Hill International didn't mince any words. Whenever it was reported that he said it really helps, he said, to have the brother of the vice president as a partner.
Well, no, I guess that's a very helpful business.
Generally, it doesn't.
What was that? 40,
business as
40
usual.
Million?
Actually, whenever they were talking about it, they're talking about a billion.
A billion?
Yes.
A billion with a B,
with
everybody.
A B.
Are you hearing this? Unbelievable. I thought Claire McCaskill was bad when I just found out from her guy.
This doesn't make Claire any less bad.
No, I know. You shouldn't compare one to another.
And actually, I saw that the estimate...
much less than him. You should elect me.
Oh...
It wasn't me. It was my husband.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's like whenever
right.
John Kerry said that it wasn't his SUV, it was his wife's.
Oh, I know.
Down
I know.
On Earth Day.
Oh, I mean,
that's,
that was classic.
It's that kind of stuff that just, that. wow. And that kind of stuff hurts.
It does.
One of the things that really got my goat recently, whenever we was talking about judges, was in Michigan on the voter application. The voters will not have to check off whether they are a U.S. citizen when they go to the polls in November
because
to cast a ballot.
It is already assumed that they are a U.S. citizen. Is that the reason?
No, it's because a judge put the heinous on it. So he said that the checkboxes could cause confusion and delays at the polls. So
what?
Yeah, a federal judge ordered that the Michigan Secretary of State Ruth Johnson remove all those boxes from the paper ballot applications, because we're just going to cause confusion. It is really a burden on the right to vote in terms of slowing things down, in terms of confusion, the U.S. District Judge Paul D. Borman said.
Shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans.
I'm calling, you know what?
That's
it's
the
a
worst.
Burden and
I didn't like
confusing.
Early voting. Taking off the box, you know, and we've never seen the box. That would be very confusing. I know every job I've ever applied for, I had to.
I did see
the
a
box.
Picture. I did see a picture of it. It looked just like a box. You know,
oh,
kind of,
brother!
You know, U.S. citizen. it had me
simple.
Confused.
Que no habla.
But it's we've got that. We've got the Pennsylvania judge that granted an injunction against the Pennsylvania voter ID law that would require all voters to have a photo ID to cast a ballot. In Ohio, last Friday, a federal appeals judge ruled that all Ohio voters should have access to early voting instead of members of the military only.
I'm going to say right here in Jefferson County, I just saw in the paper today that we don't have to have a photo ID in order to vote.
Well,
it's still a valid driver's license they wanted or some form of Missouri ID. They should have had that. This, are you even a citizen? I'm appalled. What is the? Are they just that scared? Nobody that can't get themselves a photo ID by November 6th, and I hate to say this, would be a Romney voter anyway. I really see it that way, honestly.
Well,
where's my phone?
I want my phone. I find it interesting that you know you can't get into the courthouse without a photo ID.
I can't anything with. I can't give a check at Walmart without a photo ID.
Look at the hoops. Well, you can't buy a pack of cigarettes without a photo ID.
That's right.
If you don't have the gray in the beard that we do.
Yeah, I could now. But you're absolutely right. You can't do squat. Why are they this is what other reason except for illegal?
There is only
to be able to
vote. Absolutely, and there's only one that or somebody vote multiple times.
Yes.
One of the things that's crazy about the state of Missouri anyway is the fact that you don't have your legal, you don't have to register under your legal name.
Really?
You could register under your nickname.
Yeah.
You know, Dean the Man Whiteman or
yeah, like
what's
that.
Let's go with anything,
that.
Anything along those lines.
Yeah.
You could just, all right, if they called you Bob, if your middle name was Bob, you could put down Bob Whiteman
right.
And register here, and maybe
exactly.
Dean
that
Whiteman
yeah.
And register in another precinct.
Oh,
yeah.
I could.
Yes,
I
you could.
Well, do they still have dead people and dogs? And
I actually saw that they were trying to purge the rolls in one area, and I'm going to have to look that up. I think it was in Missouri.
Good.
They were trying to purge the rolls of the dead folks.
Okay.
And I believe a judge stopped it. We can't disenfranchise the dead.
Oh, brother. You know,
we've got problems.
We do.
I mean,
pray,
you know,
everyone.
We've got. I do not like the idea of the UN sending over people to watch our campaign, not our campaigns, but our voting booths. I see this country in the position that it's in. Whenever we cannot take simple steps to assure that fraud isn't running amok.
That's a new one to me. That's for our military. They want to have UN representatives.
No. They want to send UN
foreign
representatives over here to watch, especially in some of the inner city area. No, to make sure that there's not any kind of restriction of people to be able to vote and other things. So,
UN people.
UN people, yeah. United Nations. They are reported to going to come over and watch the polls to make sure that everybody is not intimidated.
Well, they're already here, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Well, I am. That's another show for another night. Right?
It is a show right there. That's a show I want to be part of because it'll be the last show because this will get bombed.
hopefully not.
No. But if we do, Jesus saves. Let me just tell
everybody. Absolutely
right now.
So we've got, Kurt should be calling in any minute now. 347-677-1855 if you've got anything that you'd like to add to the conversation or else just make it a worthwhile conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't want to have us talking to him. No.
We appreciate it. Even my microphone keeps wanting to dive on me.
The mic dive.
We are going to, let's take a quick break, Dino. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, and I want to hear another one of your commercials, too. All right.
Coming around the corner. I definitely don't want to eat into our time with Kurt, but yeah,
no.
I'll let you hear the other one.
A 30-second spot? Yeah. Come on.
We've got the Grassroots Minute coming up with Terry Varner.
Yes, we do.
And we will be right around the corner.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You, they walk a while, a country mile, in my hillbilly shoes.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project. Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Dean, I have to ask you something real quick as we jump back in.
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the Secret Santa that Missouri Grassroots Coalition puts on?
To a degree.
To a degree. I think it's an unbelievably well thought out program. I think it's one of the best that I've saw through the years. Whenever you look at the concept of going into a store at the last, you know, late on New Year's Eve,
right,
finding out what kind of items may remain in layaway.
Okay.
Probably looking at the aspect that these folks are not going to get this out of layaway by now, and then and paying off almost all of it, and then having the store call them and tell them to come in and pick it up.
It's,
is that not a neat concept?
It's enough to bring tears to
Absolutely.
Your eyes on Christmas morning.
That is one of the things. I mean, that's what they did last year with the Secret Santa. It's a wonderful.
That's beautiful.
It is. It's a great gesture. They're once again would love to have your contributions to it. If you go by MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab, and you can. It's an easy way to give there. Through PayPal and other means. If you've got any questions about it, I'm sure that you could send any of us an email, and that or just hit the contact button off the site. But that's such a neat little idea and principle that I thought that it's definitely worthy of trying to share and get folks to participate in.
Now, I remember hearing about that on the news a couple of years ago. Has this been going on for a few years? Because I've just recently, through you,
Secret Santa. I'm not sure that the whole concept was designed by the folks here at the Missouri Grassroots Coalition. So there might be a similar program like it. If anybody would, Dave, can you give us a little history?
Yeah, it's actually something that has been around for a while. I mean, other organizations have done it in one form or another, generally, and it's just something that we thought up. And really, we were a very small organization last year, 30 or 40 people, and kind of all down in the dumps. We had just come out of the disaster with Herman Cain, so we really just were looking for something as much for the charity as for to get our group together in some principled cause. And
Dave, that was a disaster, as you just called it, because I mean I was a supporter too. I was excited about Herman whenever he jumped in.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody that could possibly take us in a different direction. And you know, it just fell apart. So it was a bad deal. I'm glad that you guys took that moment to try to do something positive to move it in the right direction, though.
Absolutely.
Well, that's actually the moment that we formed a Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We were the initial group at Missouri Grassroots Coalition was people who were coming over. You know, we had some work in the Herman Cain, Missouri campaign, and we just found that we were all disheartened and had nothing left to do, and so we put this MGC thing together, and And that's where that whole thing came from.
Good came out of it then. Came out of the ashes of the presidential run. You know, I'm that's the important thing. And I don't know about you, but it feels like to me that this election cycle's been like 3 years long.
Doesn't it?
It does. It's I'm going to be very, hopefully even happier after November 6th. In particular, hopefully we'll get some good representation in many different areas.
Yes.
We definitely need it. Hopefully it'll be folks that are willing to listen to the will of the people and that will stand on principle and try to do the right thing. Here's the thing, and we've talked about it before, Dave, and that is there's too many times that there's folks that, and I understand the frustration, but there's folks that say that I won't vote for the lesser of two evils. Dave, when was the last election that didn't occur?
Well, I don't think it's ever occurred, quite frankly, and my take on that is, you know, we live in a country that is uniquely positioned to allow us to choose a leader every 4 years. So there's nothing evil about that. You can almost always, not in my lifetime, you can always look at two people and say this guy is better than that guy. It's only the most pessimistic and the most down on the American way of life person who could look at such a free enterprise as our election system and consider anything about best of two evils.
Well, and what I mean by that is, even if you look at it from a Christian perspective, mankind from a Christian perspective is fallen.
Well, yeah.
So therefore, I mean, everybody is susceptible to. I mean, nobody's perfect. In other words, nobody is. So you're always selecting between the lesser of two evils.
Well, and yeah. Yeah, and the least perfect of all those people is one that can't look at these two people and see a tremendous difference, see clearly that one is better than the other.
Right.
I mean, this is probably the clearest choice in many since Nixon McGovern.
It totally blows my mind. Is Mitt Romney perfect by absolutely no means? Is there a contrast in choices? Absolutely there is.
Well, the only thing that Mitt not being perfect means to me is that after Election Day, our work has just begun.
Right. Absolutely. And most of the problem lies with the lazy citizenry. I still believe that these guys are human. They have human nature. Many of them will default to that. Many of them will go down courses that if they had citizenry that made them answer for that or that kept pressure on them, they wouldn't. And, you know, we all just want to elect somebody and ignore it and just let them handle everything. But that's how we got in this mess. We're going to have to be diligent and do our work. We can't be a lazy parent. We're going to have to watch the kids in office.
And that thing that Lisa uses for her intro where Clint Eastwood said, you know, we're the employer. These people work for us. Well, we're their employer way past November 6th. You know,
right.
we remain their employer. And as an employer, you don't just hire somebody and then go to California and never watch them.
No, absolutely you don't.
You're not supposed to, but it does happen.
Well, yeah, and that's where we got. We did not get here overnight.
No,
we did not get here overnight, and that's just this is where we're at, and we're going to have to just work from this point forward.
I was listening. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave. I was listening to Rand Paul today. Rand Paul was being interviewed on one of the daily talk shows. I don't know which one, whichever one was on when I was in the car. And he reiterated, of course, that he was totally behind Mitt, was campaigning for him and was working hard for him. But Rand Paul said that we have to be very careful here. You know, I mean, we would love the ideal candidate. We would love a Ron Paul who knew something about the security of the United States, which is one of his only downfalls. We would love something like that, but we couldn't take that. We couldn't take it. This change is going to have to come slow, or you're talking blood in the streets. You don't just get to wake up tomorrow morning and say, okay, this is it. We're going back to the way things were, because I mean, you are talking violence if you do that.
We are at a position, and I know what you're saying, where there are no quick fixes.
No,
you can't quote reset without there being some major death and destruction.
Yep.
I mean, there's really not much more than that.
And that's what Paul was saying today, is it's going to take long enough that we better start pretty damn soon.
Yeah, absolutely. and if you don't, then you know what? You're gonna be trying to make up for lost time down the road, and it's gonna pinch you that much harder.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the longer you wait, the faster you're going to have to do it, and the faster you have to do it, the more tendency there's going to be toward violent uprising.
Absolutely. Is there anything else on the Missouri grassroots, anything coming up down the road that we should share with the folks?
Well, we're working hard right now on these the four ballot initiatives that are on the ballot, aside from because as a grassroots group, as a Tea Party, or as a patriot. At this point in time, election-wise, it's pretty much a no-brainer for you in almost every race, which way you go. The real thought now has to go into these four ballot initiatives that everyone's going to vote for. And, of course, you'd ought to be looking in your own local area at what local ballot initiatives you have.
Sure.
And what judges are coming up and things like that you don't think about. And sometimes even get taken by surprise on election day when you walk in and there's this thing on the ballot you didn't even know was coming.
And it's poorly worded by design.
Yes.
Know, there's another aspect to it. If you don't get to see it in advance and try to educate yourself on it, you're going to be blindsided down the road.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're going to be an uneducated voter. You're going to be throwing a dart and hoping that it's worded properly is the extent. You know, there is the one that I find the most difference in. I really believe that Prop B is going to go down. I don't foresee that passing.
That's tobacco tax, right?
Yes, it is. And okay. I also find it ridiculous that they break down the increase of the tax per cigarette. You know,
yeah.
So that it looks like,
is that what they did?
Yeah. You know, it's like 3.65 cents per cigarette.
Nice.
Instead of breaking it down another fashion, they try to confuse it up.
Yeah,
they try to confuse it up as much as possible.
Well, sure.
It goes on and on. But there's a classic case. But I believe that the majority of the folks, I do see a lot of activity from a lot of the convenience store owners and others that have billboards and commercials and everything that are at least fighting that proposition. Again. You're hurting some of the people that have the least ability to afford being hurt. I mean, regardless of what, honestly, they're not going to quit
someday smoking.
it's kind of very few people will. A lot of folks will go without getting, you know, some of them may even go without getting a kid milk.
Milk, that's right.
Actually, I have to laugh. I have to laugh every time I see one of these commercials on TV that says, play the lottery more often because you're helping the kids when you do that. I'm wondering how many do we see these commercials that say we need to smoke more so we can help the kids.
Well, you know, by sixth grade, this is really helping out. By sixth grade, you know, we can show them all the ins and outs of craps. You know,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's like, no, Johnny, you never hit on 15. How many times have I told
that's
you?
That's right. Double down, boy.
That's a shame.
Oh,
you know,
wrong.
It is. But you are so right on that, Dave. And what would we be doing? You know, they try to make it always sound enticing, like we're going to be educating the folks. We're going to get them off the cigarettes, you know. So we're going to be creating a new bureaucracy, and the money's not going to go where we say
it's
going to go.
Which is hypocritical in itself, because if you get everyone to quit smoking because the prices go up, you're not going to get the tax anyway. So
right.
Philip Morris will just go out of business.
Well,
I'm sure they can afford to.
Not only that, you'll have a situation. There's a saturation point in anything whenever it comes to pricing. And we started seeing what happens whenever the cost of gas gets up to certain points. It actually reaches a saturation point to where it starts affecting the economy, it starts affecting the households,
yes.
and so there's a drawdown of economic activity that also surrounds that. And just like with the cigarettes, the last big hike that New York had, they actually lost revenue. They lost a ton of revenue
because
people started sneaking a lot of cigarettes into the city,
uh-huh.
even a lot more.
Oh, sure.
They blamed the Indian reservations for their losses.
Yep.
You know, and it's kind of like, and that it has the same concept with a lot of the taxes that we pay too, and national or federal taxes along with state and others, doesn't it? I mean, that's why many times, too, that will affect. There is a saturation point on taxes.
Oh, absolutely. It's like cigarettes going over to Illinois and people in Illinois getting their gasoline right over here
absolutely.
Across the river. Yep.
Everybody I know that is going to be working around St. Louis or coming over from Illinois, they fill up. You're in Missouri.
Sure, they do. Absolutely.
Now, if you're in the middle of the state, you're kind of screwed.
That's what they're hoping
for.
Well, you know, I live nearer the middle of the state, and I was just talking to my wife the other day, and it's not just about cigarettes. We do both smoke, unfortunately, but it's about food prices, too. I mean, until recently, I'm retired military, and it has been not even crossed my mind that once every couple of weeks I'd ought to get in my car and drive all the way to Fort Leonard Wood or Whiteman Air Force Base to do my grocery shopping and buy my cigarettes, but it's coming to that.
Right. Yeah. And that's speaking volumes whenever you're looking at gas prices and everything else.
Yeah.
All that in. But it's... go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was doing some research for a blog I'm writing just today. And do you know that this is another thing that is very seldom thought of when you talk about another 45 million people on food stamps in this country? Those people don't pay sales tax. So you put 45 million more people on food stamps, you're talking about a big cut in the state's income.
That's a huge
cut. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know what? That's one of the thoughts that hadn't even crossed my mind, to be honest with you.
No, honestly, 45 mil, that's substantial.
And there are a multitude of ways that people are abusing that system, too. There's even some little schemes to where they can return an item right away and then end up buying their smokes and other things off of that.
Oh, yeah,
so,
and get cash for it.
Yeah. And
when did that start? Back in the day, you couldn't do that.
No, and I think it's got to do with the cards that they're utilizing now, and I'm not sure how that they're enabling them to actually get the cash back. That doesn't seem like it makes sense on any level.
No, but it does happen.
And as far as I'm concerned, anybody, how about this, as far as the gambling, and I'm not big on the government and restrictions. I'm really not, but it goes back to kind of like this, Dave. I mean, with the kids or anything else, whenever you've got a situation to where the kids go out, your own children even, they go out and they get a job, whenever they're not coming to you and hitting you up for money, they're working for their money, you know, you're going to give them some more rope. You know,
right.
you're going to continue. I mean, they're earning some, the fact that they're out working hard and they're learning the value of the dollar,
right?
And they're not having to hit you up and everything. They're going to get some more freedom out of that. But whenever they turn around, you know, if that kid is misspending any money they've got and they're coming up and they're hitting you up for hardship cases, then what they're doing is they're inviting you to give them advice in other areas. In other words, you know, you're saying, look at you. I mean, you can't be blowing your money over here. You can't be going to the boat every night and doubling down.
You think they're inviting you to give them advice that way?
That's the last thing they want.
Right.
But my point is they're gonna get it, or they should get it, or else otherwise you're just flat out enabling them.
That's right.
Is what's going on.
Yes. And that's
go ahead.
And that's part of what you were talking about earlier in the show about, you know, kids nowadays. My wife and I just yesterday evening at the supper table, we're talking about that. There, we've got a neighbor here who's a 28-year-old kid just moved back home and isn't giving any inclination that he's going to move out, and the neighbor is distraught about it. And she said something like, you know, I mean, Jesus, we couldn't wait to get away from home. And I said, well, yeah, but we couldn't wait to get away from home because we didn't want the rules.
Right.
You know, we wanted out from under the rules. These kids don't have any incentive to go, because they don't have any rules to start with.
They don't have any rules. They've got a full-time maid.
Exactly.
Food. That's right.
Yeah, their fridge, as long as it's got food in it.
And they don't have much else, but they'll have an Xbox, too, or something.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you're right, Dave, 100%. And that is part of the equation. And my other point, in a very long roundabout way, was anybody that's getting this assistance ought to be on the no gambling list at all the casinos.
I agree with that.
I'm sorry,
but
if you're getting assistance from the state, you do not need to be on the boat. And you ought to be on the no admittance list.
That's right.
Just like you know, if you get off the state assistance, then guess what? You know, welcome aboard if it's legal in your state. But
there's always the story of the guy that was on the assistance, went to the boat, won $8 million, and then he didn't have to take anything else from the government.
Then they found him dead 3 weeks later from drug overdoses.
Yeah, that's right. Same guy.
I'm just, and my whole point with that, I'm not big in regular, in the government putting the thumb on people overall, but you know what? You've got a lot more freedoms if you're not asking for help, is my whole point.
Oh, no doubt about it. That's a fact.
And unfortunately, it's also called accountability, and it's also called enabling if you do not put some sort of restrictions on these things. And it's kind of a catch-22 because the government loves to give out items and money and food and stuff, because then they can put those restrictions on you.
Yes.
I mean, you look at whenever they can now limit the purchase, eliminate the purchase of sugar-sweetened drinks off of your food stamps, these other things. I mean, they are
the food stamps. They
yes.
can do that. Wow.
So that's, I mean, the government doesn't mind that at all in their ability to control you, and they will get you on the dole, get you hooked, just so they can start dictating how you're going to live your life.
That's right.
Where you're going to live your life.
And you're not going to be fat. No sugar for you. Wow. I never heard of that one.
Oh, I don't know. I just know that we are flat in trouble. Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
I ended up for the campaign today. I ended up cutting a couple of commercials. I played
heard one of them earlier.
Now this is the second. If I could play this for you real quick.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Kevin Harnett, and I'm running for Jefferson County Council. Some politicians believe in tight restrictions on the use of your own property. The others believe in the liberties of personal choice and personal property rights. If you agree that planning and zoning is often the obstacle to new business, personal property rights, and personal liberty, then I ask that you let me serve you on the Jefferson County Council. Please vote for Kevin Harnett on November 6th. New leadership for a brighter tomorrow.
Paid for by elect Kevin Harnett, Lyndall Carter, Treasurer.
Is that? Do you think that gets a point across?
I did. I'm more than a little disappointed that you didn't talk about the sex life of your opponent. But
well,
that's what I said. Where's the derogatory statements about that?
Actually, if I did that, he's liable to garner more support because I think he's 75 years old.
He is. You don't want to have him digging.
Oh yeah.
Either boy.
No. And he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. I've got nothing personal against him. Here's the whole kicker is that we just have different philosophies whenever it comes to whenever it comes to the functional role of government. I mean, he's been on planning and zoning. He has stated openly on more than one occasion that he believes that it's one of the best run departments in the county. I disagree. I think it's a mess many times, and it's caused a whole lot of our employment lack of employment opportunities. As you know, it's bad whenever you start getting some companies that bypass Jefferson County and they find St. Louis County easier to deal with.
Ouch.
And also we have the migration south of us into St. Francis and St. Genevieve counties. So Terry Varner will be happy for that. We're kicking some different business down his way. But that's the other thing too, Dave. And too often what we do is we focus on the individual instead of the ideas. It's not the individual, because individuals come and go. They come into this world, they leave this world. It's the ideas they possess. It's the ideas that they believe that is really the dangerous thing. Because, I mean, Karl Marx has been gone a long time, but his ideas haven't been gone, have they?
No.
No, they have not.
No.
That's so, that focusing on the individual, and I hate to try to get a different subject going here, but that focusing on the individual is something that just amazes me when we start talking about this local control thing. I mean, all of this local control thing that everybody's talking about is so focused on the individuals involved in it, and we've totally lost the principles. And that's exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it is. You know, we get so focused on people that we forget that's not what it's all about anymore.
That's what I was saying to Kevin earlier. It's specifically, here's why you should not vote for this guy. Instead of here's why you should vote for me.
And what you're referring to is Prop A, right? That would give control.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
To the city of St. Louis for the police force.
And it's all about this guy's behind it, so I'm voting against it. This guy's in the city hall, so I'm voting against it. This is the alderman, so I'm voting against it. There's no principle left in any of that.
I agree with you. I also am logged down as a yes, unless somebody can give me something more definitive, other than I don't like the person in charge.
Because that doesn't mean I'm a fan of Mayor Slay or Rex Sinkfield or certainly Alderman Quincy Jones at all.
Right.
Just means that I'm a fan of liberty.
Right. And the other thing is to be consistent in your principles.
Exactly.
And I'm just I think that if you look around at the different municipalities around the state, I mean, let's put it this way. If that control is turned over and if the state starts bleeding money and everything else, we're back to the whole principle of, you know what, as long as you're not asking us for assistance, then we don't have a lot of say in what you're doing locally. But if you are going to start asking for contributions from the rest of us, then you know what, then we will have a little more say.
Right.
And that's something that could be addressed down the road if it's just totally irresponsible all the way around.
Well, I mean, I don't see the city of St. Louis should ever have to or be allowed to come to Missouri to bail them out. I mean, cities file bankruptcy all the time. If they can't handle it, then they're out there on their own.
Right. And the problem is, and unfortunately, we live in the day of the bailout, and that's not a good enough reason to not allow them to control that locally. In my opinion, as it stands, because it's all, first of all, we're speculating. Secondly, whenever you look at these different states like California and some of these others that just don't get it, and they continue not to get it. And just like recently, whenever they were screaming up a storm because their gas prices hit over $5 a gallon, and they're screaming about collusion, they're screaming about the government probing into – I can tell you what, it's your unfriendly energy policies and have been forever and a day. Honestly, it ought to be $8 a gallon. Maybe you guys would be happier. I mean, they get very little sympathy from me in that aspect. But, you know, where you've got the Governor Brown, you know, declaring that it's some kind of a scam, and then saying that they do not have to change out of their 32 mixes of different blends. I don't know if that's the accurate number, but it's not far off. I mean, you know, you talk to these refineries, and there is an unbelievable amount of different mixes that they have to provide to these different regions.
Wow.
And it's a multitude of things that will, guess what, inflate the price.
The oil company is making, have you ever looked at that, what the oil company makes in profit on a gallon?
No.
Three cents. 3 cents. I used to work in retail gasoline, and as a retailer, all you try to do is break even half the days of the month so that you're not losing money on gasoline. The oil company is making 3 cents a gallon. The government is making 14 cents a gallon.
Right. That's
and complaining about the evil oil company making 3 cents a gallon.
And what are they providing but manpower? Like, you know, I mean, you got
regulations.
You got regulations. One still in your bank.
Somebody's got to regulate the industry, you know.
Absolutely. Hey, if you'd like to join in, anybody in the conversation, 347-677-1835. I know Kurt Barr had an event that he was going to go to, and he was supposed to give us a call as soon as he got out. I also know that sometimes you get held up at those things, too. It's hard to believe, but it does happen.
I'm going to log out here. I've got to go do some things, too. I did want to drop in and say hi let you know I listen to you. Even when I'm doing something else, I'll be listening. It's a great show. I enjoy your show. And thanks for letting me come on. And Todd Haken has just wrapped up on the Mark Levin show. He was on the Mark Levin show tonight. I didn't say that earlier because I didn't want your listeners checking him out.
You could have threw him a lifeline, dude.
All right, Kevin. Hey, all thanks right. for letting
hey,
thanks
hey, you
for
had a great show on Mondays. I appreciate all that you guys do. And Lisa's show last night, I mean, look, she had what, Kinder and Ray Cuneo?
I've got the Lieutenant Governor coming along for an extended period on Monday. I talked to Dana today.
That's awesome.
So he's going to come along, be with us on Monday. I let him know that I'm going to ask him some of the hard questions. So be sure to tune in for that. We're gonna talk to him about some of the difficult stuff.
And that's 7 p.m. Central Time on Monday evenings. So make sure that you catch that hour of truth.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye. Dave Court, he does a fine job on his Monday evening programs on the Hour of Truth.
Yes, he does.
Always appreciate his contributions whenever he jumps in and tries to save us.
save us.
But I'm going to have to get into that, into Terry Varner's Grassroots Minutes, or I'm going to need to be saved here in a little bit.
Uh-oh.
No, Terry's a great guy. I appreciate him sharing his wisdom with all of us.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is the Grassroots Minute. After weeks of the RNC publicly denouncing Missouri GOP Senate candidate Todd Haken and not a peep out of the Missouri GOP of support, the Missouri GOP has stuck its finger in the air and realized the breeze was going in the direction of the grassroots movement of the party that is supporting Haken with huge numbers. As we know, the establishment arm of the party controls who gets what and when, and normally wouldn't give a hoot what we think. But with big names like Newt, DeMint, and Santorum throwing support to Haken, what else could Lloyd Smith and David Cole and their cronies do but save face and announce support for the grassroots choice? This is not only great news for Haken and his supporters in unseating McCaskill, but equally great news for the movement in changing the state party back to representing the true conservative arm and not the establishment rhinos. Now get out there and elect our choice for Senate, Todd Haken. This is Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You, they walk a while. Country mile in my heel.
again with a enlightening grassroots minute.
And good for him.
And good for Terry.
Absolutely.
Terry's a good guy. He's he ran for Senate in this last primary election, gave it a dang good run. The problem is, again, you know, so many people that want to make a difference. I mean, we're met with financial shortfalls.
Absolutely. And you know, that's what the incumbents want too. They don't want anyone there that can make a difference.
And it makes it a really, really, really difficult run, especially whenever you start getting into the bigger to the bigger races. Because I saw that the winner of that primary is actually him and his opponent on the other side of the coin have both raised over $250,000.
Isn't that amazing?
In this race, which that's a state office, a statewide office.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, you know, going to Washington D.C.
No, you're talking about you're going to make less than what your campaign.
So it's
much less.
So that's a situation. I mean, that's a lot of money, a whole lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Hey,
to us normal guys.
You know, one of the things that we're talking about a lot of money.
Yes.
This little soundbite from Claire McCaskill that I played a couple weeks ago. This one really blew my mind because, you know, you have to keep in context, too, that the entire time that her family is benefiting from stimulus funds going into low-income housing and stuff because of the different entities they own.
Tune of $40 million?
I saw a little blurb today that says it may be up to 60.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I mean, at this time, we was just even thinking 39. But
yeah.
I mean, listen to the good news in this whole thing as she shares it.
Well, the good news is our emissions are way down because of the recession. Yeah. We are. I mean, you know, really, if you want to find the silver lining, this cloud, the number that we were looking for, we are well, well above where the emissions would have been, assuming for purposes of recession, cap and trade was passed a few years ago, because we have had such a real drop in manufacturing output. Now, I didn't mean really good news. I meant that I was being sarcastic again in the context. But our emissions are way down because of, unfortunately, the lack of economic activity that we have over the last couple of years.
Is it good news or is it unfortunate? I mean, you know, everybody, they now this is a campaign that likes to grab a hold of Aiken sound bites, take many amount of context, everything else, whether they're well assembled or not. You know, I understand.
That was one of the stupidest things I've ever
heard. It's, the good news is that the emissions are down. It also shows the mindset, though, Dee.
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
You know what? All she's worried about, I'd say at this point now, $60 million, huh? That was the blurb today?
That's a little blurb, I know.
It's a little blurb, I know, but she would have never let any of us find out about the initial 39 either. And she trusted.
Too bad, too bad, too bad. Try it again.
That's a fact.
Try it again. No, you're
100%. True. Yeah, well, she's hopefully everyone's paying attention right now, because you know, I had to laugh with Claire. Let's keep Todd in, and she played a very fair race until the very last day that Todd could drop out, and that's when the ads started pouring out about legitimate rape.
Well,
she was just waiting.
That was the other thing that really.
She's so sneaky.
like I mean, you know, like we all didn't know that wasn't coming.
Yeah.
You know, whenever she's standing up and she's poo pooing the Republican National Committee, you know, for pressuring him to try to get him out.
Yeah.
And they're just, that's wrong. You know, he won his primary legitimately.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
she was so sincere,
oh,
right?
Sure. No, she wanted him in there, absolutely.
No.
You know, my favorite thing is how she, I don't know if you'd have the sound clip, she talked about 6 months ago, whistleblowing, and how great it is to be a whistleblower, and it's the backbone of the our country, you know, because that's where good laws come from, and we watch people that are stealing or and then boy, the whistleblower came out on her, and all of a sudden, what? You're a liar, you're a felon, you got something there? Let me hear it.
technical difficulties. I'm sorry.
That,
we unlocked the front door.
And who walked in? A chorus of...
No, that was the whistleblower.
Oh. But,
no, actually, it was the yodeler. As we like I said, had technical difficulties there for just a brief moment.
It's so true, though. And I don't know. Everything just seems hypocritical. This race is turning me off to politics in general.
Well, and you know, that's by design.
Yeah?
It actually is. Whenever you have a very low approval rating, whenever you're really so unpopular, which she was in the state of Missouri, you want as few people turning up as you possibly can get.
That's very true.
You want to make them every time they turn on the TV throw up. I mean, I just don't. You burn people out on it. They're like, nothing matters. Why do I even bother? This is all crap. Everybody's
so
crooks. So they don't even go.
That's true.
Then you got your diehard base that shows up and you squeak in on 10% of the vote.
Which would be. It's true. That is true.
Unfortunately, yes.
You know, once a person's been in office for a while, I know name recognition is very strong.
Very strong.
You know, I think Gene and all the kids can tell you that.
Well, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. We elected a dead governor.
Yes, we did. I know.
And I don't know that he would have been elected had he still been alive.
He was
fairly popular, but I mean, it was one of the craziest, stupidest things I ever saw in my life. Keep the fire alive. Keep the fire burning.
Oh, wait. Is that... They did say that.
They did say
that.
The guy...
Oh, that is
the
worst. It was a plane. It blew up in midair. There's a thing you shouldn't
say. And it's not even... Not only is it out of taste, or not having taste, but what does that even mean? I mean, it's...
Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
Unless you're camping out in a state park and you've got 10 more weenies to roast...
And there's no reason to.
And no more wood. You know, you're like, come on, fire.
Boy, do you remember who ran against her in that election? That would have been difficult.
Well, she was actually appointed.
Oh, she was. That's right. But then they tried to vote her in the next time, and didn't she?
No, she won that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who in the heck that was.
It's
been a long week.
But, and if you have a great name, like if my name is, you know, Franklin Clinton, I'd certainly put my name on the box. Clinton. Oh, Clinton. Wow. You know, people would do that. You don't want to be, you know, Billy Bush or, you know, or, you know, Jack Nixon. Yeah, I think there were good and bad.
I know where you're going with that. Sure. Sure. Or, you know, that's why so many people actually changed their name from Hitler.
Ah, that's right.
They did.
I know. We worked with a guy named Hitler, and the first time I met him, in fact, any time somebody ran into him, he'd say, two T's.
Two T's. Back in his history, you know, some family member added a T just because they didn't want to be associated.
I think you're right. That's exactly what happened.
I mean, it's amazing back through our history for instance, in my wife's family, they have Braun, B-R-A-U-N, which many people pronounced Brown.
Okay.
And there was an offshoot from the family that... somebody spelt it Brown, and I mean, you know, and there you go. You got a whole new.
It was just easier.
Yes.
And they probably called him Braun then.
Yes, Braun. Like I said, it's one of those things back through the past that, you know, names have kind of gone off in some different directions. Whenever it comes to different things,
you know, didn't some of that happen right at Ellis Island too?
Yeah, that's true too.
So. That's been going on for quite a while.
Yes, it has. You had told me a while back about a Saturday Night Live skit. I think it was that whenever he was supposedly in Ohio?
Oh, I don't know. When they were talking to him about, well, there you go. You're better off.
Yeah. Look at that. Free brick.
that was, yes. Play a piece of that. That was so funny.
Minute 29. You're listening to Hillbilly Logic Show on Missouri Grassroots Coalition or Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, 347-677-1835.
Hi, I got laid off in 2009, and I still haven't found a job. I don't want to vote for Romney, but I really thought things would be better by now.
Real change takes more than one term, or even one president. I don't know if it will even happen in 8 years. Might take 12. Frankly, I might be long dead. Who here has a job? Oh, there we go. There we go. And what do you do, sir?
I'm a manager at Burger King.
And where were you 4 years ago? Probably working the counter, right?
I was a vice president for Bank of America.
Oh, okay. The point is that today you're a manager at one of America's biggest companies. That's a success story. Probably get free burgers, right?
No one gets free burgers. I actually had a fire guy for eating a burger while on the clock. He got so mad he threw a brick through the window. So.
There you go. Free brick. Anyone else feel they're much better off than 4 years ago? Yes, sir. And what do you do?
I don't have a job. I just won a lot of money in a lawsuit last year.
I see.
Yeah, I was eating at a Burger King and some guy just hit me with a brick.
There you go. Circle of life. Look, can we at least agree that Mitt Romney would be worse?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good little short skit. Did you see the one that had Chris Matthews and all the regular suspects on there?
No.
Al Sharpton?
No.
It's great. I like it better than that one.
Well, that wasn't the same one I saw the first time. So this is a running skit that they must have going on. Yeah. Good for them.
This is the other one, and I love the fact how they say it goes known at MSNBC as the worst day ever anywhere, you know. But this is the one that honestly, out of all of them, I like the best.
We now return to the MSNBC special report. 3 days later, a look back at the Obama debate disaster.
Good evening. I'm Rachel Maddow, and tonight we try and pick up the pieces and make sense of Barack Obama's performance Wednesday's debate, or as we're calling it at MSNBC, the worst thing that ever happened anywhere. Joining me tonight, the Reverend Al Sharpton.
I'll never forget where I was the night of that debate. I was here.
Our one conservative contributor, F.C. Cup.
This has been the best week of my life.
And joining us from outside the University of Colorado, where he's refused to eat, shower, or sleep since the debate, Chris Matthews.
Hey, what the hell happened? I want answers!
President Sharpton, we'll start with you. How do you think the president did?
Well, I think he did bad. But I would like now to make an excuse for why he was bad. You see, Obama was poisoned by the altitude. You see, Denver, Colorado was a mile high. Now, there is no way to know for sure how many feet that is. But it could be upwards of a million. Now, Obama's from Hawaii, which is a mile below the earth. So for him, speaking in Colorado was like being flung 2 miles straight into the air and then having to give a speech in outer space.
Chris, were you disappointed in the president's performance?
Disappointed? Never been so disgusted in my life. I feel bad forever. I had to, you know, move the podiums afterwards because Obama took a giant dump behind him.
Pretty harsh, Chris.
That's true. He stunk. It's one thing that President Obama had nothing to say, but why was he letting Governor Romney talk? Forgot the first rule of debating, always be interrupting. When I don't have points to make on my show, I make up for it by screaming at people. That's how you win a debate.
Well, Chris, I don't know about that.
Bye, you're wrong. See, debate's over. I win.
All right, F.C. Cup, anything to add from the conservative perspective?
No, Rachel, I'm happy to just listen and smile. I believe the term is gloating.
Rachel, if I may, I've come up with another excuse, jet lag. Colorado is 2 time zones behind Washington. That makes it very hard for the internal clock to adjust. Also, Denver is in what's known as the Western Hemisphere. So, say you need to go to the bathroom in Washington, D.C. When you flush, the water goes clockwise. Whereas in Colorado, when you flush, the water shoots straight up your ass. And you can throw a man off his game.
I'll admit, it wasn't the president's best night, but was Romney any better? I mean, why isn't the media talking more about this classic Romney gap?
And state of a state, you're going to get what you got last year, plus inflation.
Talk about you, Governor. Is it inflation or inflation? If so, what is inflation? Let's take another look.
Plus inflation.
Not exactly presidential. And can we freeze frame it for a second? Nice face, Governor. I don't know how they're going to spin that one.
Okay. I have a third worst excuse. I believe that on the night of the debate, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama switched bodies. Perhaps. And this is just a theory. Perhaps they were exchanging pleasantries backstage, and Mitt said, "Man, it's not easy raising five boys." And then Barack said, "You should try raising two girls." And then they laughed, and at the exact same time, they said, "What I wouldn't give to switch places." Lightning strike, just like that. Romney's cool, Obama got no game.
Moving forward, any advice for Obama in his second debate, Chris?
Yeah, stop being a pussy. Yeah, push around for 90 minutes. You need to make him fear you again. All right, it's time to go full-blown Tyson. Show up in the next debate with a face tattoo. Not one of those subtle ones, but one of these jobs, you know? When he goes to shake your hand, you bite his ear, you spit on the ground, you yell, "What are you going to do, arrest me? I'm the President of the United States!"
All right, let's take a break. When we return, a new segment called, "Is Winning the Election Even That Important?" Answer might surprise you.
This ever happened to you?
Did you know the only substitute for good manners is fast reflexes? And did you know the problem with the gene pool is that there's no lifeguard? And did you know the quickest way to double your money is to fold it in half and put it back in your pocket? Bet you didn't know that. And did you know the severity of the itch is inversely proportional to ability to reach it? And did you know the shortest distance between two points is under construction? And did you know the sooner you fall behind, the more time you'll have to catch up?
Who the hell are you?
And did you know the universe is a figment of its own?
Here at Hillbilly Logic Industries, we've...
This is the Grassroots Minute. The good old days before Obama took office. Remember when consumers were paying $1.79 for gasoline, $1.97 for a loaf of whole wheat bread, $1.99 for a gallon of milk? Today it's $3.53, $2.78 for a pound of ground chuck. Today is $3.38. 51 cents for a pound of sugar. Today, 73 cents average. People receiving food stamps, 32 million. Today is 46 million. Not everything is doom and gloom these days. There is an upside to having Obama in office. The price of gold was $941 an ounce. Today is $1,775 an ounce. Wow, what a change. Unemployment was 90 days. Today is 73 weeks of unemployment. Why work anymore? Free phones? Just listen to the so-called free phone lady in Cleveland, Ohio. This went viral.
Obama! You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, no minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? Gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone?
More.
How did he give you a phone?
You sign up, you on full stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
I have a question.
And sadly, the good old days were just 4 short years ago. If Obama gets reelected, I can't wait to see what a gallon of milk will be. $10 maybe? Isn't that thought just scary enough for you to vote for anybody but Obama? I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
Hey
And we're off it back to, not that you went anywhere, to Hillbilly Logic on the Missouri Grassroots Network. In the studio with me tonight is Dean Whiteman. Hopefully Kurt Barr will get a chance to give us a call at 347-677-1835 whenever he gets out of his event. That's the one thing that you can never tell. This time of the year, we're moving in on November 6th. It's right around the corner, even though if you happen to be in a race, it feels like an eternity away still.
Oh, I bet.
But anyways, that is hopefully he'll give us a call and be able to give us an update on what's going on in his area. Kurt's a good guy. He's intellectually honest. Whenever you get down with him and you talk to him about different issues, he's willing to listen to the opposite side of the fence and weigh the evidence. And that's about all you can really ask from anybody.
From either side.
Yep. So we just want somebody that's intellectually honest, that's not going to just blindly not consider the evidence, just to be agenda-driven. We've had too much of that as it sits.
And you know what? He's a nice guy. He's personable. If you would try to get a hold of him.
He's got a young family. Nice, you know, nice little young family, wonderful, supportive wife. So that's
just recently out from the Air Force. Was it?
Yeah, I believe that he managed, some very high dollar accounts while he was in the Air Force too. So it's not like he is not schooled or isn't familiar with having to deal with finances.
Good point.
And that's a good thing too. Whenever we're looking at different aspects, the thing that is coming out now on the whole Benghazi stuff, you know, is there's a lot of talk about when was things known? When was it known? When was it shared? Who made decisions? Who made decisions not to do anything?
Right.
You know, and here in the most recent, the most recent debate, we had the president talking about more or less referencing, let's put it that way, that he had mentioned that it was a terrorist attack the next day.
Right.
And, anything that I saw absolutely did not lend any kind of credence to that.
Well, Chris Matthews played it Sunday, and they went through it. It had to be 5, maybe 8 minutes in, but because he fast-forwarded. He said, "Hi, I'm Barack Obama." And he got it, to where it was probably 5 minutes in, and he said, on the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And it kept on going for another, look like 2 minutes before he said, "United States would never condone an act of terror."
That's
8 minutes in and after talking about the Twin Towers.
That is not, that is exactly why Chris Matthews has no credibility whatsoever. And he's a total, complete hack.
Yeah.
Total. There's nobody that disgusts me more on the airwaves today than Chris Matthews. And quite frankly, that wasn't that little skit wasn't too far off, in my opinion, what Chris Matthews deals with. But there's another guy on the Comedy Channel that many people enjoy his show, that watch, and many people that are undecideds or at least don't really claim a party affiliation.
Okay.
And that would be Jon Stewart. And he did this days after this event, Dean. And this, to me, is damning as all heck.
Yeah.
There's no way for the president to explain this little skit days later.
Tonight's topic, the terrorist attack last month on U.S. Embassy in Libya that killed 4 Americans, including our ambassador to that country. 3 days after the attacks, the White House was still in fact-finding mode.
What I'm telling you is, this is under investigation. This is obviously under investigation. An ongoing investigation.
Yes! Good thinking. Wait till you have all the facts, sir.
Although, in the same press conference, we did establish a hunch.
We have no information to suggest that it was a pre-planned attack. The unrest we've seen around the region has been in reaction to a video.
Yeah, crappy Mohammed movie. Things like The Ring. 3 days after you watch it, embassies just burst into flames. So the administration's story was that one anti-Muslim video on YouTube happened to touch off a massive protest.
That happened to occur on the anniversary of September 11th and happened to spread quickly to 27 other places. Seems implausible, but 2 days after Carney's press conference, they had an explanation for that, too.
Our current assessment is that what happened in Benghazi was, in fact, initially a spontaneous reaction to what had just transpired hours before in Cairo, almost a copycat of the demonstrations against our facility in Cairo, which were prompted, of course, by the video.
Copycats. So Libya wasn't the ring, it was the ring, too. So 5 days after the attack, the White House was still sticking to the video story. But on the eighth day, the director of National Counterterrorism Center went in front of Congress with a slightly different assessment.
I would say yes. They were killed in the course of a terrorist attack on our embassy.
Of course, he's going to say that was a terrorist attack. He runs the Counterterrorism Center. I mean, you know, the guy sees everything as terror problem. It's sort of like if you ask the Ghostbusters, they blame ghosts. You know what I mean? If you ask the Foo Fighters, they probably blame it on food. Anyway, the gentleman had company in making that assessment.
It is, I think, self-evident that what happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack.
Oh! How bad does it suck through the White House press secretary? Hey, get out there and tell him it was the video. Okay. Get out there and tell him it was a terrorist attack. Okay. Not to mention, judging by the sound of that video, they apparently make him stand in a very special place while answering questions. But you know what? It's not so weird. I mean, it started out, the administration wasn't quite sure what happened. They made a couple of statements, which later they wanted to take back. And by day eight, they were very clear that this was a terrorist attack. So the president's spokesman says it's a terrorist attack. Cut to the president of the United States just 3 hours later.
I don't want to speak to something until we have all the information. What we do know is that the natural protests that arose because of the outrage over the video were used as an excuse by extremists to see if they can also directly harm U.S. interests.
So do you guys talk to each other? Or I mean, for God's sake, Hillary Clinton got the memo.
What happened in Benghazi was a terrorist attack.
So come on, Mr. President, try to get in a safer space.
I heard Hillary Clinton say that it was an act of terrorism. Is it? What do you say?
Well, we're still doing an investigation. There's no doubt that the kind of weapons that were used, the ongoing assault, that it wasn't just a mob action.
And? I mean, it wasn't just a mob action, but it wasn't an act of terrorism either? What does that leave? What is it, Libyan St. Patrick's Day? What was going on? A quinceañera that got out of hand? Now, a cynic would argue that the president's been unwilling to admit our embassies were targeted by terrorists, because that will make him look bad right before an election. But hey, maybe all this back and forth has just been honest confusion. Maybe it just took a week or two for everyone to figure out what really happened in Libya. That's possible, right?
Our sources tell us that law enforcement officials knew within 24 hours that this was a terror attack.
Well, two things apparently have become clear. The attack on our embassy was planned and coordinated. The response to it, not so much. We'll be right back.
That is sad, isn't it?
It is sad. Good for him.
I'm telling you, and some of these things, it really makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder. Hang on just a second. Let's catch this.
You bet.
Hello, you're on Hillbilly Logic with Kevin and Dean. How can we help you?
Hey, Kevin, it's Kurt.
Hi, Kurt. How are you doing, buddy?
I am doing well, sir.
Well, good. I'm glad that you could join us this evening. I was just telling the folks, too, that it's a very, very, very busy season that we're in with the elections coming right up, and we appreciate the time that you're taking out to share with us for a little bit.
Absolutely.
No problem.
One of the things, Kurt, we was kind of talking about last night. Now you've spent a term now in the House. One of the things that we've experienced recently is redistricting. Now you were in the 102nd. What district are you going to be in What's the
district? My current district is 19, and so I'm running for the 102nd.
Okay. All right. So you're actually, it's being changed to the 102nd, or at least
Yes. That's
the new district that you find yourself in.
Exactly.
That's unfortunately, we've got several incumbents that were faced with that type of situation. So you actually had to incur a move, correct?
Yeah, actually, we had to buy a house. My wife and I just recently bought a house to move back into what is in essence my district. I got drawn just barely into a neighboring rep's district.
And again, this is Missouri State Rep Kurt Barr. Appreciate him taking some time with us this evening. He is a constitutionally minded candidate. I've always appreciated the fact that Kurt, just like I said earlier, you're intellectually honest. You're always willing to listen to the evidence and then weigh out based off of that. And it's one of the it's about the most that you can ask of any candidate or anybody that's sitting in office. But we appreciate that. That honesty in that.
Now, thank you for that.
Now, as far as the election, this election, from everything I'm hearing, it looks like things are going well for you. If you could, just kick out a little bit of background for everybody that doesn't know. Now, you're up in the O'Fallon, Missouri area, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, in St. Charles County.
And you're an Air Force veteran also?
I served 4 years in the Air Force, yes.
And, we thank you for your service on that end of things, too.
That was a little bit more fun. People, I don't know if they respect you more, they appreciate your service in the Air Force a little bit more than they do your service at the state capitol. But either way, I enjoy the opportunity to serve.
Well, I appreciate that too. And unfortunately, Kurt, sometimes our politicians are not very good on the servant end. So I can understand why some people look at the two differently. And I am running for office, local office too. So, you know, I'm throwing myself in that boat too. It's a lot of hard work whenever you do it right. Correct?
When you do it right, it is a lot of hard work. They say, you know, on day one you're sworn in, and every day after that you're sworn at. But there was some famous quote by a statesman of ages back. He said, "If you have enemies, that's good. It means you stood for something." So whenever you actually take a stand on principle, then obviously you'll have some who respect you for that, and you'll have others who, they may respect you for it, but they still won't like you for it.
Well, see, that's also taken in moderation, because I know a lot of people that, or I know even countries that have a lot of enemies that that's not always indicative of doing a good job or standing for something principled. But I understand.
Well, that is true. You could be a jerk and not and have enemies, but the thought is still there. If you take a principled stand, you're going to make somebody upset. And if you're doing your job right, you're going to have to take a stand somewhere. And then once you do, you alienate somebody, you anger somebody. But again, like you had mentioned, I try to at least listen to both sides and understand to the best of my ability the issue, so that when I make a stand, I can give a reason. Now, people may agree or disagree with my reason, but I want to at least say, this is my reason, whether you like it or not, that's your choice. But, you know, as opposed to, well, so-and-so said it was a good idea, so I just went with what they said. Which is an easy way of doing this job.
And I really appreciate that approach and that mindset. And again, that's why I appreciate and I'm happy to have you on this evening. Because that is unfortunately too rare in today's political climate for somebody to be intellectually honest and to consider the evidence. I understand that we do not want to not marginalize, but we don't want to water down our foundational beliefs. We don't want to compromise them. You know, and there are some things, you know, it's different on those core those core beliefs and stuff. It's much more important to stand firm. There are some areas though that both sides can make a valid argument, and they just agree to disagree. And you know, we very seldom see that anymore. It just seems like you know, there's a lot of demagoguing going on, and a lot of personal attacking. Whenever there can be a legitimate reason, as long as somebody's got a legitimate reason to take the side that they take, and it's not just a soundbite or a talking point, then I'm satisfied. If they seem like they've weighed the evidence.
Me too. I think that's most everyone out there.
And that's Dean Whiteman. He got to meet you at the old studio whenever you guys came in, you and Dave Evans.
That was my first radio interview whenever I started running for office was with you guys. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And appreciate it. It was you did a great job. Do you ever talk to Dave anymore?
Actually, yeah. He's a constituent of mine because, you know, obviously we're running for the same seat. But we cross paths quite often, and our relationship has gotten better in the last 2 years.
It gets a little better if you're not running against him, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't have a bad relationship, anyways. I mean, it was a nice little.
No, it was a pretty fair primary. It wasn't a dirty race like some races can become.
Right.
So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I didn't think the victor was bludgeoned too badly.
No, we're Facebook friends now, so you know things are okay.
Right. That's how we gauge everything in a relationship, right? Or no! It's one of the things, Kurt, now that you've been in there, though, now you went into this, you were just coming in as a citizen that you wanted to, so you hadn't held public office before. Is there anything that really surprised you after serving a term in there? Is there anything that just really set you back, either for the good or for the bad, as far as it just wasn't what you expected?
Well, I actually have a master's degree in public policy, so the process I knew and I expected. The amount of information was a little overwhelming at first, but I faced that same thing when I was in the Air Force and I got to my first duty station, and I basically said, okay, well, you know, start working. So there's a little bit of a trial by fire there. But what surprised me the most was the times when I disagreed with my own party, specifically on certain key issues where I thought that, you know, my party, you know, one issue is tax credits. I'm for just cutting taxes and having, you know, low taxes, whereas, as opposed to giving out tax credits to businesses. But so many people in my party think, hey, a tax credit lowers taxes for businesses we like, that's good. My opinion is, if the government's picking winners and losers through tax credits, then that's bad. So the fact that so few of my colleagues seem to understand, or what frustrates me more, want to understand how tax credits are not a free market solution, that frustrates me. But the thing that perhaps surprised me the most was how many times how often I actually agreed with Democrats on some issues. I thought there was a few very liberal Democrats I thought, well, I would never, ever vote the same way with. One person specifically would be Jeanette Mott Oxford, who's probably the most liberal person in the state house, and she and I voted together actually somewhat frequently. Now, it was kind of odd because we were voting usually no together for the same reason, or we were voting no on the same bill, but I'd be voting no because I thought it was going too far, and she was voting no because she thought it didn't go far enough. And so our reasons for voting no were different, but the fact that she and I voted the same way on a number of bills was probably the most surprising thing to me.
And that's where I was talking about earlier too, whenever I say people can have good reasons, good valid reasons, either to be on the same side or to be on different sides. And there's a classic example. I mean, somebody could take that and say, look, he voted with the most liberal member of the House this many times. You know, and they could totally misconstrue that.
Which happens all the time.
It happens all the time. And that's the unintellectually honest part of politics that I hate. And that also goes to show, you know, again, kudos to you, Kurt, and that's one of the reasons why I appreciate you, or and why we appreciate you, is the fact that, you know, again, that's a sign of intellectual honesty. I find it very, it's an awkward place to be in whenever you're on the opposite side of the coin from the group that you're with. And it's the good thing is, though, is that you're standing up to your principles and you've got a valid reason why you're making the decisions you're making. Appreciate
well,
that.
Well, it's easy to make a tough decision when you do have those principles to stand on. There's been a number of times where there was a bill that the goal of the bill I actually liked. I appreciated what the sponsor was trying to achieve. And, you know, part of me wanted to support the bill, except for the fact that the bill violated the state constitution in some way. And
that's
so my vote was determined. I took an oath to support the Constitution. That bill violated the Constitution. I had to oppose the bill. I liked what it was trying to achieve. I respected the sponsor for what they were trying to do. But, you know, my position is, if it's not constitutional, I'm not for it.
It was poor legislation, in other words, or poorly written.
It could be a matter of being poorly written. It could be a matter of, you know, they're trying to achieve something that either in a way that the Constitution doesn't allow, or, you know, so sometimes I think that it may be that, you know, on some issues, maybe we need to have a vote of the people to modify the Constitution so they can achieve what they want to achieve.
Right.
Like I say, some of those bills weren't necessarily bad bills. I didn't necessarily think they were bad public policy, but they did violate the Constitution as
right.
it was written.
So
the Constitution changed.
Sure.
Know, I'm bound to that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And that's, you know, again, it's an admirable approach, because, you know, what we end up with on the other side is whenever we do not adhere to those standards, we end up with many times having to make a decision off of either emotion or off of off the intent of the bill, or off of, you know, just the ends justify the means. And those are never good scenarios to make legislation over.
Exactly. They talk about whenever making an argument, there, you know, there's the three Greek phrases. There's the logos, the ethos, and the pathos. The logos being the logic, and that's the hardest way, but the best way to, you know, win people over to your side. The ethos being the emotion, the emotional appeal. We have to vote this way for the children, and then the pathos basically being the patriotic reason for the. We're going to do this for America. We're going to do this for our country. We're going to do this for, you know, us as a people. And so it's usually the ethos or pathos arguments that are used because, well, they're the easier ways of convincing people to agree to do something, at least, you know, short term, you know, during a debate and a voting period, as opposed to, you know, long term. Is it good public policy? Can we get the support of the people long term for a bill?
Right, and whenever you say ethos, that one bill that I could think of that the old Prop B, not this one, but the other one, that was called the Puppy Mill Cruelty Act, that would be one that I would think was directly driven by the emotional side.
Oh, that was completely an emotional bill, exactly.
Right, and poorly worded, and I mean the whole thing was just was misconstrued and ill proposed. I mean, it had its own agenda.
It did have its own agenda. It was interesting. That bill, I got more grief. There was a bigger firestorm over that bill than any other bill in my first 2 years. After that, after weathering the storm of that bill, everything else seemed rather tame. Even when they talked about, you know, the, you know, some you know, different issues that certain groups get fired up about, nothing compared to the people being emotionally charged over the puppy mill bill. However, that particular bill had no funding to pay for inspectors to, you know, look at the bad breeders, and so it couldn't actually achieve its own objective.
Right.
So what we did, what we did is, first of all, the bill also was unconstitutional because there was aspects in it that violated our Constitution. So what we did is we made the bill constitutional, and we put funding in it, so we actually, you know, did a better job, the legislature did a better job doing what the people, you know, voting for what the people thought they were voting for with Prop B, and making legislation that actually protects dogs being bred. Now, I think I've been told that since Prop B, or since the legislative fix to Prop B went through, Missouri now has the second toughest dog breeding regulations in the nation, and one breeder a day has gone out of business because of these tough new regulations. So, you know, you can even make the case that our legislation was too strong if that many people are going out of business. But, you know, that's what the voters thought they were voting for was tough regulations on dog breeding.
Right. Now here's a situation too, though, Kurt, where many times, and the government is one of the rare entities that I see that can get by with that. And that is, a lot of times, whenever we have a failure within either the system of government or somebody just disregards the law that's presently on the books, we create more stringent laws out of those situations. And that's,
well, you never want to waste a good crisis, as it's been
right.
And so a lot of times you have one instance of something bad happens. And so then there's the knee-jerk reaction, oh, we must have a law to prevent it. Well, usually the law, if the law was on the books, it still wouldn't have prevented the, you know, whatever happened, because
right.
Usually it's, you know, somebody either in accident or somebody was breaking the law and they wouldn't have cared if there's one more law on the books.
Right, absolutely. And we see that many times, when any time that there's a sad or a serious shooting incident, anything like this, we see that there's already multiple laws violated, and yet the answer is to compound and create more law. And,
exactly.
And those are the things.
Anytime there's a shooting in a public space, the first response is always to take guns out of law-abiding citizens' hands.
Right.
Even though
it was violated in the process, the current law.
Exactly.
You know, I worked with an instructor from Australia about 6 months ago, and they had a it's kind of, I asked him, I said, you guys aren't even allowed to own guns anymore, are you? And he said, well, we're allowed to own guns. I just can't take it home. He's got to keep it locked up at the shooting range.
Oh, really?
Yes. And all of that stemmed off of a shooting incident where they had multiple casualties off of a shooting incident in a mall or something, and the people knee-jerked, overreacted, and now, you know, the great outback, that these folks do not have gun rights almost at all. They got to leave them locked up at the shooting range unless they've got certain permissions, you know. And there's a classic case, you know, and he was bemoaning the fact that they rushed through that legislation after that incident, and we see it attempted here all the time.
Yeah, I have a standing rule that any law that's named after a person is suspect. And you know,
right.
until I know the ins and outs of it, I'm going to
sure.
vote no, because usually it's, you know, if you have a law named after somebody, then it's a single instance, that person that we're naming the law after. If that happened, usually it's an accident or typically a unusual circumstance, and so then the idea is, well, we need legislation to prevent this from happening again. But you know, it's the first time such an incident has happened. So if you know, we're now 200 years into our union, and this is the first time we've had this issue, it's not something that we may not have to. That may not be something that needs to be dealt with immediately within, you know, 1 month span of time or one legislative session.
Sure. And again, we're talking to Kurt Barr, who is running for House Representative for the 102nd. He is currently seated in the House of Representatives. That'll be his new district. Kurt, is there anything coming up in this next session that we should be aware of, both good or bad, that you know of?
A specific legislation, I don't know. We don't actually pre-file legislation until December, so I don't know what bills. Typically, anything that didn't get done last year, somebody will redo the next year. There are Tim Jones, who's the Speaker of the House, he has his four E's for the next legislative cycle. So these are basically just four overarching issues that he'd like to address and work on, not necessarily specific legislation, but his four E's are economic development, energy, education, and ethics reform. So you can, you'll see bills dealing with those issues. Unfortunately, when Republicans talk about economic development, they don't mean lowering the taxes and raising all boats. They mean giving tax credits to favored
right.
businesses.
Right.
Energy obviously will be Callaway. Education, well, they've been talking about education reform for a long time. And ethics reform, the courts threw out our last ethics reform bill. And so we'll have to readdress that.
You know, what about in Michigan where a judge stepped in and told the Secretary of State that they had to remove the citizenship boxes off the voter applications? I mean, is that not insane?
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. A judge stepped in and told them that it's too confusing. Here's what he said. It's saying the check boxes that you have to check to say that you're a citizen of the country, the check boxes could cause confusion and delays at the polls. The federal judge ordered.
Exactly. English isn't your first language.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is, and this was his statement. It is really a burden on the right to vote in terms of slowing things down in terms of confusion.
It sounds like the judge would say having more than one party on the ballot may confuse things too. So perhaps we should just have, one party ballots. That way, we can make sure the right people get elected.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Confusing for all of us.
I'm so baffled at everything that they're striking down, including the Pennsylvania where they struck down the voter ID law, and just on and on and on. I mean, it's insanity all the way across. Well, Kurt,
you were talking about voter ID. I was just going to say when you cheapen our right to vote by allowing people who aren't citizens to vote, you degrade our natural citizen right to choose our elected officials by allowing those who aren't citizens to participate in the process. Now, voting isn't a human right. Voting is a right of a citizen of our great state and country.
Amen.
Well put. I agree 100%. Yes. Kurt, is there any way that the folks can help you in this moment at the campaign time? Can you give us a website information?
Well, my website is kurtbahr.com, so that's KURTBAHR.com. I'm pretty much just a last-minute push trying to canvass a few more neighborhoods with some flyers. So that's really what I'm focused at for this last 10 days before the election, is just hitting a few areas that are target areas of within my district. I have a mailer to go out. I avoid doing robocalls because they just annoy people. And every candidate always needs more money, but I didn't call to ask you for money. I just kept to call to get a chance to join you on your show once again.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. You're always welcome back. You're kind of our resident rep. All right?
All right. Well, thank you. I may have to call in a little bit more often.
Absolutely. And again, Kurt Bahr. Now, that's kurtbahr.org, correct?
.com.
I'm sorry. Kurtbahr.com and get by there. And they can also message you from that, too, correct?
They can, yes.
Okay. Well, Kurt, thank you for joining us this evening. It's always refreshing. It's neat to kick things back and forth with an honest, intellectually honest politician. And appreciate it. You hang tough.
All right, I will. And good luck on your race.
And thank you very much. You have a great night, and we'll be watching your election returns.
All right, good night.
Thanks, good night. And Kurt Barr.
Always nice.
He's a wonderful individual. He's an honest young man. He finally, after talking to him for an hour last night, he finally had to leave because he was heading church or Bible study that night.
Good for him.
So that's tough. Now, Dean, thanks for coming in tonight.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a blessing. You're welcome. Also, every week you're a big part of it. Thanks for joining Hillbilly Logic on Missouri Grassroots Network.